Hey y'all, this is Dick Darren from StraightHustling.com. Are you a hunter or just like to target shoot and have a good time? Then you need to check out Freedom Munitions. You can find a link to Freedom Munitions at the bottom of StraightHustling.com. I can't say enough good stuff about Freedom Munitions. It's where I buy my own ammo, great prices, you buy directly online, and it's shipped to your doorstep. It doesn't get any better than that. You can sign up for their email specials and check out their brass buyback program. So please click the link at the bottom of our site, StraightHustling.com, takes you directly to Freedom Munitions, and get your hustle on. Let's get on with the show.
I'm Herman Cain, radio talk show host, 9 to noon Eastern Time weekdays. You can find the show 24 hours a day, anytime, anywhere, on any digital device at HermanCain.com. And we are now sharing access to this information and truth to Straight Hustling.com. I'm Herman Cain.
You say I won't, but I will. I'll drink a moonshine straight from a still. I tore off a leaf of backer, smoke it right there out in the field. I couldn't hunt without a light, take off a run and ride into the night. I'll find my leanest, meanest, biggest, baddest boy and start picking a fight. So hold my beer and watch this as I cross another crazy thing on my list. I'll be either coming back or giving St. Peter a kiss. No, I ain't scared.
All right, Straight Hustling's back. Oh, yeah. Dick Darren, Money Mike.
On the scene.
No Stu.
No, he's on vacation up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the beach, getting crabs. I mean, Dick, looking for crabs.
We got a cool show tonight. We got Herman Cain.
Oh, yeah, big political man coming on.
Yeah, he's on Fox News, got his own radio show.
Big time, baby.
Ran for president a few years ago, so we'll see what he thinks about the presidential race this year, and get old HC on here.
Yeah. HC, are you there?
This is Herman Cain.
All right. How you doing, Herman? This is Dick Darren and Money Mike. You're on Straight Hustling.
I'm fine.
How you doing, Mr. Cain?
All right.
Thanks for coming on our show, man. It's really, really a blessing for us to get you on here and get some information on the presidential race that's going on 2016 and get kind of your thoughts of how it's going to play out.
One of the biggest questions I get from everybody, I was at the pharmacy today picking up some prescriptions, and the lady asked, well, who do you think is going to get the Republican nomination? And my answer is what has been every time, and that is, it's too early to tell. Okay. And here's why. Even with all the Republicans in the race, it's too early to tell who is going to survive the gauntlet that the media is going to put them through, because perception is 50% of the battle. You can have a candidate with the best vision of America. You can have a candidate with the best substance in terms of solutions that they would offer. But the perception that's going to be created and generated by the media is a big part of whether or not they make it to the Republican nomination or not, or the Democrat nomination. And if you look at the Democrat nomination, that is an example of what I'm talking about. A lot of people that are supporting Hillary Clinton, they don't know or care about all of the scandals surrounding her, their foundation, what she did at the State Department in terms of emails. That's not a factor in their decision. So they are supporting her based upon what I call personality politics. She's got one of the highest name IDs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's leveraging that in order to try to get the Democrat nomination. So the Republicans, they have an uphill battle. And that is to get their name ID up and to convince enough people that aren't already committed to one party or the other to vote for them because they have the greater substance and can offer the greater leadership. So it's too early to tell at this point who's going to emerge as the head-to-head candidates going into November 2016.
Yeah. Myself personally, I'm really hoping we don't have a Clinton-Bush presidency runoff. I hope that's not going to go that way.
Oh, please.
Well, you know, I get a lot of phone calls from a lot of people on my radio show that they can find at HermanCain.com that express the same feeling that they hope that it doesn't go that way. But here's what scares people. The Clintons have a boatload of money. Jeb Bush has a boatload of money or has raised a boatload of money. And remember I talked about perception? Well, you can buy a lot of perception with a boatload of money. So that's why a lot of people are thinking to themselves, oh, it's going to be Clinton and Bush. And I say, not so fast, Kemosabe. Because if you get off your anchovy and do something, it won't be Clinton versus Bush. And so I try to encourage people not to be discouraged and just give up and think that that's inevitable. It could be if enough people don't get off their anchovies and do something, but I think that it can be changed if enough people wake up and decide we need a different type of leadership in the White House.
Yeah, definitely. Is the anchovies, is that a pizza reference?
It's a implied reference that use your imagination.
Yeah. Yeah. He used it in the right place at the same time. I got it.
That's right.
I know
people
exactly
think
what
it's
you
a
mean.
Pizza reference, but no. Use your imagination.
The derriere, I think.
I was just going for the Godfather's thing. But yeah, you're exactly right. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But so you think there's so many people that are going to vote Democrat, Hillary, no matter what. And then there's the ones that we're just going to vote Republican no matter what. Is it really the independents that have to shift one way or another to make that decision?
Yes. Yes. The rule of thumb has been in watching elections, and I started watching them closer in 2004 when I ran for the United States Senate. 40%, the rule of thumb that I use is 40% of the people are going to vote Democrat no matter what. 40% are going to vote Republican no matter what. And then you have 20% of the voters that are undecided. I don't necessarily label them Republicans, Democrats, Independents. They're just the undecided.
Okay.
The undecided have determined many elections. And the undecided are the ones that you've got to try and inspire to get out and vote. The base of the Republican and Democrat Party, you know, most of them are going to get out and vote, except in 2000 and except what 3 years ago, many conservatives didn't get out and vote.
Right.
According to the RNC, 3 million conservatives didn't vote because they didn't like Mitt Romney. That is an absolute travesty.
Yeah.
When they could have changed the election. The other determining factor is state by state, because as you know, the popular vote determines where the electoral votes go, and what the Obama campaign did is that they knew those critical states that they needed to work in order to get the popular vote to pick up the electoral votes. So even though the race may have been closer in terms of the popular vote, which happens a lot, they knew exactly which states they needed to work the hardest, put the most money into to create that perception that I talked about to give them the electoral victory. So yes, it's that swing vote that's going to be the determining factor. And I got to tell you, you can't go to one channel, one source, one city, one state, one demographic, one anything in order to be able to tap into that 20%. And that's why it's still a toss up at this point as to who's going to get the nomination.
Yeah. Do you have any of your favorites that you're hoping, or are you not saying right now?
I like all of the early entrants in the Republican ticket. And at my website, HermanCain.com, every time a new entrant get into the race, I do a presidential rating. And for example, Ted Cruz, his overall, I give him an overall rating. I think his rating is about a, it's about a B. I give Rand Paul an overall rating of a B. I give Carly Fiorina an overall rating of a B. And, you know, just using those as examples, the reason I give them a B is because Carly Fiorina, who is one of the most articulate ones out there based on how she has done some smackdown with the media, but she's an unknown.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know that 40% that I talked about that's going to vote Republican anyway, they don't know who she is, and they tend to vote for people that they know who they are.
Right.
Rand Paul may be, quote-unquote, perceived as a libertarian, but so he's going to attract some Republican voters, but he's going to turn off some others.
Yeah.
And then you got Ted Cruz. One of the reasons he ends up with the B is because the media has created the perception of him that he's crazy. And so, you know, and so he has an uphill battle.
Right.
I think all three of those are great candidates and would do a great job of running the country. But there's a big difference between running the country if you become president and the challenge of getting elected to become president.
Right.
Right.
A lot of other good names out there. Ben Carson.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you're rating on Ben Carson.
Yeah, Ben Carson is another great candidate. So I'm not ruling out anybody that's announced. I don't spend a lot of time talking about people who haven't announced, because until you announce, you're not in the race. So I don't have a list of favorites at this point from the Republican Party. Now, relative to the Democrats, I don't like any of them. They all scare me. You know, Hillary still has the advantage, but she and the rest of them scare me for different reasons. I feel so strongly against Hillary or any of the Democrats that I said in one of my commentaries this week, if Hillary Clinton becomes president of the United States, I wish I had another country to move to, but I don't.
Well, let me
and
know.
Since I don't, I'm going to stay and fight, because that's what America's about. Fight for what you believe in. And I believe that any of the Republicans so far would be 200% better than any one of the Democrats.
Yeah. I'm pulling for Rand Paul myself.
That'd be a shakeup if Rand Paul came in there. I do have a.
Yeah, it would. I mean, and I understand why you guys are pulling for Rand Paul. You don't even have to tell me why you're pulling for Rand Paul. I understand that. But he still is up against that loyal conservative Republican base that, you know, aren't as libertarian in their thinking. I'm just telling you the way it is.
I like, I'm sorry.
They're not as libertarian in their thinking.
I'm pulling for Ben Carson right now. I don't know how he'll end up, but I like Ben Carson, and I do like Rand Paul, I like Mario Rubio. I wonder if one of these, whoever gets the nomination, will they pull one of the other ones in for the vice president job, or will they just try to go outside of that? It seems like they always go after some other person vice president.
That would be the smartest thing to do, but you can't count on them doing the smartest thing. I mean, with all of the candidates that we have that are jumping into the race as Republicans, the smart thing would be to pick one of them as the VP running mate.
Yep,
and if you get elected, a lot of them would be great cabinet heads. You need conservative thinking people heading up the various agencies and cabinets in Washington, D.C. Because the president can set the tone, the priorities, the philosophy, but he's got to have people that understand that philosophy, that conservative philosophy, in order to have it, you know, trickle down into the various operational aspects of what goes on in Washington, D.C.
Right. I mean, you know, those candidates, sir, they're there for a reason, you know, and they got to that level. So why, you know, why not use those people in the government where they should be at, you know?
Exactly.
Instead of holding grudges because you guys smeared each other for 8 months or 6 years or whatever, you know.
That would be the smart thing to do. But let me tell you why that is so difficult to happen. And it is really one of the other aspects of running for office that a lot of people don't realize. The political consultants, that most candidates hire will not recommend that they do that.
Hmm.
And the reason that they'll recommend that you don't do that is because they are afraid that the person is going to detract from the attention that their candidate is getting. That is a false old paradigm that causes Republicans to keep losing.
Right.
But
yeah,
all of the Republicans that are going to be in a race, all of the good Republican candidates that are going to be in a race, it would make sense to pick one that has also run but maybe didn't get the nomination. But you have that professional consultant class out there who want to try and keep all the attention on their candidate and not allow the attention to get on the VP.
Right.
Allow me to give you young gentlemen some historic perspective on this that I saw firsthand. Back in the early, back in the 1990s, remember when Bob Dole ran for president?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
All right. The reason that Jack Kemp, and he was a good friend of mine, I worked on a commission with Jack Kemp. Jack Kemp was chosen as the VP running mate because the Dole campaign was losing in the polls. They needed somebody that would boost Jack, that would boost Bob Dole's ratings in the poll. When they announced Jack Kemp, I was with him. I was with him on that at that particular time. Dole's polls started to move up. All right, that was the good news. But once his polls started to move up, the Dole campaign, political professional people, they would not include Jack Kemp's advisors, and I was an advisor to Jack Kemp's vice presidential campaign. They wouldn't even talk to Jack Kemp's political people and his advisors, who had some different ideas about what Dole needed to do in order to win. Well, they shut off the staff of the Kemp campaign because their egos were so big, they thought that they could win without listening to other ideas. They thought they had all of the good ideas, and they didn't. And those of us that were advisors or staffers to Jack Kemp, we were sitting there watching Dole's campaign go down in flames, and that wasn't anything that we can do about it because of the political consultants that Dole has surrounded himself with. That's why I say it's way too early to determine who's going to make it to the finish line, and it is primarily because of how much candidates listen to or don't listen to their political consultants, which have a totally different objective than they have.
Yeah, you know, you can just imagine two of them team up, you know, Rand Paul and Ben tour up, team up right now and, you know, run one as vice president, one as president. And, and that right there, that's, that almost seals the deal right out of the gate.
Or put Rubio in there.
You know, or Rubio or any of them. You know, if they, you know, if you team up with those two, you know, two powerful guys, you know, that are, you know, having, you know, along the same agenda, you know.
Right.
And that tells you right there that, you know, that's good and strong. And that's exactly what this country needs. We don't, we
that's
need,
what they need,
we need strength. We need strength and leadership.
On that point, let me make one last point. When I ran for president, if I hadn't been viciously sabotaged and attacked with lies, then, if I had gotten the nomination, I was going to name my list of VP possibilities before I was elected or before I went to the Republican convention. The reason that I was going to do that, and I was going to name about three people that were going to be on my top, my list of people that I would ask. I wasn't going to say that they had said yes, but it would have generated a lot of positive support just knowing the kind of people that I'm thinking about. That was going to be something outside of the box that I would have done. Now, my political advisors weren't going to tell me not to do that because I didn't allow them to handle me the way they always handle a candidate. That would have been so out of the box, people would have been going, wow, why did you do that? The reason is simple. Running the nation is a big job. You run it with a team.
Yeah, and you need, you got to, number one always has number two, you know,
right.
No matter what. If you ain't
run
got
it
a good, strong
a
guy.
Team.
Yeah,
exactly.
On. You need a whole team.
That would have been one of those outside the box things that I would have done, but I never got a chance to do it for the reasons that you talked about.
if you ever run again, I'll go ahead and accept the vice president.
Yeah, man, we'll have
nomination
a team.
Now.
Yeah, I'll
throw your name. Right. Throw your name in there.
I did also run across a Ted Nugent for president bumper sticker. Has he announced yet?
Y'all teaming up.
He hadn't announced, and you know that isn't going anywhere.
Or Donald Trump.
Because he's too polarizing, okay?
Yes.
But I like Ted Nugent. I like his stand on the constitutional amendments and stuff like that. But he's not going to generate enough support, in my opinion, order to have a chance. That's not a negative. It's just a reality of how our political system works.
Do you have we're like a big fan, like we told you, we interview comedians. Do you have any comedians that you're a fan of? I was going to ask you what your favorite comedian was, and you're not allowed to choose Al Sharpton.
Okay. All right. Then I go to my next 2 and 3 choice. One of my favorite comedians is Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, yes.
Jeff Foxworthy is, first of all, he was one of my favorites even before I met him. But then I had a chance to meet him and go to one of his shows in Las Vegas. Jeff Foxworthy is one of my favorite comedians because he has a way of taking real life situations and making them funny.
Yeah.
That's what great humor is all about. And one of my other favorite comedians was George Carlin, who is now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the late
great George Carlin also took real life situations and turned it into humor. For example, I'll never forget going to one of his shows when he did this routine talking about at airports, why do we call them terminals? That's scary. The terminal means it's the end. Why do we call runways when they are flyways? Is anybody running down a runway at an airport? I mean, it was a hilarious routine based upon things and names that we use for stuff that we don't think about the literal interpretation. So historically, George Carlin was one of my favorites.
All right. That's funny you said Jeff Foxworthy. I had one question I was going to ask you. If you're stranded on a deserted island and you had to pick one person, I was going to give you Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, or comedian Jeff Foxworthy.
I'd take comedian Jeff Foxworthy.
I mean, that's
you want to know why? If I picked Jeff Foxworthy, I would be on that island and I wouldn't get dumber. I'd get smarter listening to Jeff Foxworthy.
And at least you'd have fun.
Yeah, you definitely would have fun.
Yeah, you'd smile a lot more than you would with the
smiling.
Other two.
Man, thank you so much. We'd like to talk to you some other time, too, and talk about your career in general has been really exciting to me. So I want to thank you for taking out some time and talking to us. Really cool.
We really appreciate it.
And thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing this posted, okay?
You got it. I'll let you know. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's the show. Herman Cain on StraightHustling.com.
Oh, yeah.
Had a lot of cool stuff to say about what's going on in the presidential race. He is rating them on his website if you want to go check it out.
Yeah, I just don't know why the team thing has not, that's a new thought. Let's just team up and actually win the thing and do something with the country instead of all this me shit. Let's do some we, because it's we the people.
I don't know. I think they're all in together, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what the hell the deal is. But, in order to win something, you need a strong team. You can't just do it yourself. Because, we all been put in by the bullshit of these people.
Yeah.
And we don't. None of us believe anything they're saying anyway. Whatever they say they're going to do, they don't fucking do.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's insane.
I hate it.
We need to get him on here again sometime. Talk about his rise up through Hebrews. With the Pillsbury Company, Godfather's Pizza. So get on here and talk about his journey and how he excelled through his career. That'd be cool.
StraightHustling.com. That's STR, the number 8, hustling.com. And it's on iTunes and Stitches. You can find us on all the social media sites and Twitter, Facebook, all of it. Check us out and see what we're about. And listen to our shows and buy a t-shirt. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Had a good time. We got some cool people coming up next. We'll post Herman's website out there if you want to go out there and leave him some message.
Yeah, HermanCain.com. I know that.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. A good show. Had a good time. We're out. If you ain't hustling, you ain't living.
So. At the bar, blue eyes, the light of the dark. A double fist, a top twist, and two tall boy PBRs. Well, all my boys say, you ain't got a shot, cause her man's tougher than a concrete block. I said, now give me 30 minutes, we'll be rocking in the parking lot.